Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
All right. Awesome. Why don't you give, I don't know, give three people a high five. Then you can take your seats. Thanks. Awesome. Oh, Phil, just keep playing for a couple. Ah, good. Ah, hey, Beth Piner, first time yesterday in Sheffield. She was on the platform on stage doing backing vocals, first time at a major conference. Give her a round of applause, because she's doing great job, doing an incredible job. Because I'm a lead pastor in one of the locations, I get to go to the Young Adults Conference, even though I'm too old. I don't feel too old. But it was just an incredible time, just a fantastic time. And because you may or may not know that Hope City Church is one church in multiple locations, and this New Republic was the Young Adults Conference for young adults from all across the locations of Hope City and beyond. There was folks from other churches represented, and it was an incredible time. Feeling a little sleepy today. How many of you feeling sleepy? Anyone feeling sleepy? Right? Feeling sleepy. I'll say that's okay if you went to this New Republic. If you just gone, oh, I just had like a lazy Saturday, I'm still tired. Well, I don't know. Splash yourself with water and that'll be good. Phil's still playing the guitar. It's nice, isn't it? It's good. We're going to start a series, right? No, it's quite nice. It's quite nice. Let's pick it up a bit. Give me something a little more. Yeah, I'll start doing a hoedown in a second. It's good. But we're going to start. We're going to do 3 weeks, right? It's quite rare for us to do this, right? Spend 3 weeks on one book of the Bible, right? But you are Bible-hungry people, aren't you? Aren't you? I don't know. Jono is. Lisa is. Yes. Ben's not too sure. You're Bible hungry. You're hungry for the Word of God in your life. I should think so. So we're going to spend 3 weeks on the book of Philippians. Just getting into that, right? And mining that for some truths for our lives. And we're going to get right into it. And give Phil a round of applause because he's going to stop playing guitar now. And come and join the general congregation. Thank you, Phil. I don't know. Have you got anybody in your life that you are so thankful for? Yes. Thank you, Lisa. My wife has said the correct answer. Yes. And it's great when you've got somebody around your life that you are thankful for. And I was thinking about when me and Lisa first took on the leadership of a church. It was like 2007. Gosh, how time has flown. And sometimes dragged, but mostly flown. And 2007, and we took on a church, and we renamed it. It was called New Life Church, and we renamed it the Community Church. It wasn't the most like radical, cutting edge name, 21st century name. But I was dealing with things and dealing with people, and he was like, okay, we'll just call it the Community Church then, and led by vision at all times. But when we took on this church, there was like 20 committed adults, right? 20 people, and but they all had me as a leader by default, right? It wasn't like these 20 people that said, "Dave Stoner, we want you as our leader." They were left with me because the previous guy went to be with the Lord, like. Yeah, cheek, right? Literally, right? And I didn't just take over. I didn't say, "Hey, now it's my turn, folks. This is me. Here I go. I'm ready. Give it to me." It was done in all right order and all that kind of stuff. But I was given this fellowship of people, and they received me, and they didn't really have much choice. They either had me or they could leave. That was the two options. And so everyone's kind of there by default. And not because they were like, "Oh, I just love your vision, love you, Dave, love you," just by default. Apart from Well, there's Lisa, right? And she's made a decision some 19 years ago. Is it 19 or is it 7? 19 since we got engaged. I'm sorry, I should know that, shouldn't I? I should know the sums so well. And so Lisa's there, we're together. And we had one person, that one person who was with us because they loved us. And they liked us, and they were with us. They like, I'm here for you. This girl called Rachel, and some of you know Rachel. So, oh, look, a little ripple of excitement at the sound of Rachel's name. And she's still in Lancs where we were, and she was so committed to us, we left her there. And now she's representing us in the house. And so we had like one, we just had Rachel. But we were so thankful for Rachel. Because like without Rachel, we had nobody who had said, we are with you. We are partners with you. Nobody. She was the one we're like, go. We're so thankful for Rachel because she gets us. And she likes us and she wants to go where we're going. And we love each other and we're friends and we got this thing. And I'm like, gosh, you know what? God wants that multiplied. Multiple times in our life to build an incredible church that there's people that are for one another, that love one another, that are on a road together. And so it was so good just having, we've got one, Lise, we've got one. Everyone else is kind of making up their mind, but we've got one person. And then you start to see that multiply. And even in Liverpool for us now, we've got an incredible bunch of people who are on team and in church and doing stuff and you supported me and Lisa even over the last year. And it's incredible when you think, God, we got some people around. They're partners, right? Partners. Not because they've signed a form and said, I'm a partner, but because something has happened. We joined together. And it's not just about everyone joining with the leaders, but that we would join together, that God would build something crisscrossing across the community of the church that speaks of how awesome God's love and community is. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Turn to person next to you and say, he's getting ahead of himself. Can I just back up a bit, Dave? Back up. Gosh. And I've been at this New Republic and it's all exciting. So you're just like, ah. And so here's Philippians. Here's the book of Philippians. And I'm going to pull some verses out of chapter 1 for you today. So if you've got a Bible with you, it's easy, right? You just have to find Philippians chapter 1 and you're probably done, right? So if you can find that in your Bible, this is good. I've got a proper Bible, proper actual. Ronchi's borrowing. It's a little girly. And Philippians, and I'm not going to read every verse because I will be here all day if we do that right. But there's so much good in this. And I think this hopefully will speak to us today. Philippians 1, I'm going to read verse 3 and 4 and then verse 7 and 8, okay? It says, I thank my God. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Philippi. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Every time I think about you, I thank God. Always, say always. In every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. I love that. Every time he thought about these believers, he's like, I'm thanking God for you. I am happy when I'm thinking about you. I'm happy when I'm praying about you. Because of what? Because of your partnership. Say partnership. Because of your partnership in the gospel, in the good news from the first day until now. Verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. How special is that? How special is that? See, Apostle Paul, he's not just thinking, well, you're all doing great. You're being good Christians and doing what I've told you to do. He's saying, I hold you all in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace. It's right for me to feel this way. You're partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment, he's writing from a prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ. I think that is incredible. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you. It's right for me to feel this about you. It's right. I shouldn't say, oh, well, we've got church, got some people, they're doing some things. I should feel some kind of, I feel some affection. Let me tell you, I feel some affection, right? Feel some affection for church, for you guys. I feel some affection for people who are towards the edge of church. You can't help it. You know, when you're trying to build something with God and you've got the love of God kind of working its way out through your life, you can't help it. There's something that overtakes. It's right that I should feel something for the church, and it's right that you should feel something for those around you. You say, we're partaking, which means we're taking part in the grace of God and in the good news. We're not just coming to church together, but we're living for something together. That's what God wants to do. He doesn't want to just, hey, we've got some people. It's not a club, right? And it's more than just family. It's more than just we've got some kind of bond because we've turned up here together, but we're actually living for something together. I think if you want to find a sense of connection, a sense of bonding, a sense of belonging, a sense of people loving you and you loving them, then the best thing that you can do is get on board with the very grace of God and the mission and the plans of God and the purpose of God. I think that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to just say, you're going to feel love because there's some lovely people. I think that will have an impact. That might draw you in, right? But it's temporary. It's kind of got a temporary life. These people are lovely and they love me very, very much. This is nice. They're nice people. They do some things for me and this is good. But I think the deep connection is found. Well, just let's talk outside of church. The people I'm connected to in my life, whether you say that's about church or not, are the people I've been through some stuff with. The people I'm fighting for something with. The people I've spent some time living for a cause and living for something. This is where my connections are made. And I think in God outworks that in the church. I think it's you want to connect in. You want to be a partaker of the grace of God and a partaker in the plan of God and the purpose of God to build an incredible house for the glory of his name. I think that if you're thinking, I need someone, I need to feel some love. I need to find a place where I feel loved. Well, you will find some love, but it will go deep and you'll find the connection when you find yourself planted in the house of God, living under his plan and his purpose. I think God wants us to be partners together. Turn to the person next to you and say, howdy, partner. Howdy, partner. God wants us to partner together. I love this in verse 6. It says, I am sure of this. I love that. So Paul is sure of this, and I think God wants you to be sure of this. This is one of those verses in the Bible that I pick out and go, this is good. I need to be sure of this, and you need to be sure of this too. I am sure of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you will, say he will. He will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God wants to put this in our hearts. Because some of us are not sure if God is going to finish what he started. Some of us have started on a road and we are not sure. Because there's some things that seem uncertain. There are some uncertainties around our lives, but God wants to put something deep into your heart and into my heart, a certainty that God will complete everything. The good work he started a good work in you. It ain't a bad work. It's not like a bodge job, you know? He's not just putting, I've got a little bit, I've got a couple of hours, yeah, I'll fit you in. You know? That's not how God works. God is absolutely committed to completing what he started with your life. It doesn't matter what you're looking at and what you're feeling, God wants you to be sure that he who began a good work will bring it to completion. And may I remind you, right? May I remind you, Paul wrote this while he was sat in a prison cell. This is the context. He wasn't writing this when he was living in living in a mansion somewhere, saying, well, I've had a good and prosperous life. And he's like sat in a prison. And he said, I'm sure of this, that God will complete the good work he started in you. And he's not saying, because he'll complete it in you, but he won't complete it in me, because that's how some of us are. God will do something good in the life of others, but not in the life of me. I mean, look at my life. It's a little bit of a mess. He's not going to do, oh, I can believe God for you, but I don't know if I can believe God for me. He sat in the prison. Let me tell you, he's absolutely believing God for himself. He's absolutely believing this is going to work out to be part of the plan. This is going to work out. God is going to complete. And sometimes, right, we take the Bible and we take a promise and we just go, this is about me. This is for me. So I use this verse and it encourages me. God will finish what he started in my life. I've just spoken it over you. God's going to finish what he started in your life. But Paul isn't writing it from an individualistic point of view. He isn't picking someone out saying, hey, that plan, God's going to finish it for your life. He's going to keep going. He's going to keep going. He's going to work it out. He's not talking to individuals. He's talking to the church. The context for finding the plan of God and living out the plan of God is by being in his house. He's like, I'm going to complete something. I'm not just going to complete something for you and your random life, off you go. He's going to complete something for you. Hope City Church, Hope City Liverpool. He's saying God will complete the plan he's got for you. We all want to be part of a church that's going somewhere. We all want to be part of a church that's impacting. Well, that's on the heart of God. Absolutely. He's not saying, hey, you have your plan. You have your plan. You have your thing. You have your thing. He's saying, together, guys, Church at Philippi, God will complete what he started with you. It's not going to fizzle out and die. Stick in. Stick with it. You're part of it. He's going to complete it with you together. This is how God works. I find it's about being connected into what he's doing with us that I find out what he's doing with me. I think there's a new perspective that comes into our lives when we're aligned to God's cause. Some of us need a new perspective right now. And I've done this before, and I do this from time to time. But when the heat is on, the focus comes back onto me. You know, it comes back onto me. What about me, God? What am I? And sometimes I've done this. Maybe you've done this. Maybe you're doing it. That when the pressure's on, you disconnect. You disconnect yourself. And so now you tell yourself, until I'm all right, until I've got me sorted, until this thing is over, once it's over, I'll be back. I'm back in. I'm back in. I'm going for it. I'm back in. I'm like, that's the wrong way around. It's like God's going to work it out when you are in. So you need to be a partaker with people. You need to find some people you can partner together with, people who are going to believe in you while you believe in them. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to build. This city needs us to not quit. It's not about my plan somewhere, God's plan for my life over there. It's about God's plan for us in this city. That's what it's about. So if you're thinking, what's God's plan? I want to help you. I want to help you today. Ask you to discover what God's plan is for you. To walk in what God's plan is for you, as you partner together. Because I want you to find that you've got people that you're thanking God for, and it's people that are thanking God for you. And I'll throw this in, right? He says that he'll complete it at the day that Jesus Christ returns. How many of you know that's pretty much the last thing we on the list? Do you know? On the day when Jesus, when's he going to finish this? Well, on the day that Jesus Christ returns. It's a real day. We don't know when it's going to be. Some people try and work it out. I wouldn't bother. Don't bother. If you're into that, you're just like, oh, I'm going to go and put away those CDs now, okay? Put away those books. don't bother. On the day that Jesus comes back, it'll be done. That means there's still work to be done. Whatever your age. Right? Because you go, hey, this New Republic, all the young adults, I've got my life ahead of me. Woo! And then you go through life and you start thinking, oh, I'm not a young adult anymore. And then you keep going and you keep aging, don't you? Don't you? You keep going through life stages. I'm like, try resist it. Resist, resist. I come against you in the name of Jesus. It doesn't stop anything. I'm still getting older. You're still getting older. But he says, well, he'll be finished when Jesus comes back, which means whatever age you're at, there is still some work for God to do. Do not write yourself off. Do not look at everyone and go, oh, it's them now. No, it's still you. There's still work to be done. He'll only complete it when Jesus comes back. If you're still here when Jesus comes back, that's the day the work of God is completed in your life. So there's still stuff for you. God is going to finish what he started with us through our partnership in God's plan, which gives us the best perspective on our lives and places us in an incredible community where there's a whole load of people we're thanking God for and people who are thanking God for us. And then a city thanking God for the lot of us. That's my dream. That's my dream. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be part of. Let me give you a few things that are just a few partnership perspective shifts. If I can, I can't write. Look at my watch and speak on the microphone. Oh, goodness. So, are you ready? Is anybody ready beyond like row three? Anybody? Oh, there's a church. The church is here. Oh, dear. So the front row now could go, oh, there are people. The people in. There's people in here. This is awesome. Welcome. Welcome. And willkommen, depending on might have some visitors in. So, here's a few partnership perspective shifts, okay? As quick as I can. First one, okay? First perspective shift when you're in partnership with the things of God and the people of God. The first perspective shift is this. So what's happening to me isn't all about me. What's happening to me isn't all about me. I love this. Verse 12, chapter 1 of Philippians. It's where we are. Verse 12, Paul's like, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So what's happened to me is actually, the result is the gospel is being served. So what's happened to me is limited my life. What's happened to me, I'm in the prison, I haven't got this great life now. I was a prisoner, oh dear. His perspective is what's happening to me is not actually about me. And don't get me wrong, God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to be blessed. But we can make the mistake of thinking everything all the time should be absolutely perfect and fine. Otherwise, somehow the devil's against us, or we're outside of the will of God, or we're missing it, or something. But Paul is not even going, oh, no, I'm in prison. He's saying, no, what's happening to me is actually furthering the gospel. This isn't about me. Even me being in prison, it's not about me and my comfort and my moment. And I'm like, I was ministering to the nations. Now I'm in prison. Now it's all over. I'm being restricted. This is the end. Oh, no. He's actually, no, this is resulting in the advancement of the gospel. He's got a different perspective on what his life is actually about. And you can't get that if you ain't actually partnering with God and what he wants to do. And once you gotta connect. Do you ever wonder why me? Not why me. Why you? You know, you go, why me? Why is this happening? You know, and I'm talking about the little things. Like last night when I was on my way home from dropping Jonto off at his flat, I turned the corner onto the main road, and I'm like, why is this man walking towards my car as if he's going to get into it? I will press the button just before. It's like a zombie, like it's like, you know, it's like half 12 in bed, like late. This zombie's walking towards my car. I'm like, just before he can.
Are you a taxi?
No. You know, these little moments happen in life. You think, well, what was that? What's the point of that? Is that for the furtherance of the gospel? I don't know. Maybe in this moment it's become a little story to lighten the mood. So even that has found its purpose. But, you know, there are big things that happen. And one of the speakers at the conference was saying, you know what, as a pastor, you kind of think you've got to have all the answers. And as a Christian, you think I've got to have all the answers. But there are so many things. The further I go on, there's the more things I find. I haven't got an answer. I can't work all that out. Something I can have a guess. I can speculate a little bit with some wisdom and experience. I can, okay. But I still find there's things I can't work out. I face things I can't. Sometimes I'm dealing with a family, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you've had another disaster? Yeah. You start, you know, Should we pray against curses? Should we do that? You know, what is going on? You know, oh, well, they're probably in some kind of sin cycle. That's where I usually land, and then I just pray for them. No, it's not. It's not. It's not where I land. Not at all. Not at all. I don't know. You know, I don't know why some of the things happen. I don't know why I've sat in front of a friend dying. I've sat in front of people in trials and turmoils, and they love Jesus. You know, but Paul's perspective, it changed. Paul's like, what happened to me is actually ultimately producing good. And let me just dive into Romans, right? Let me give you this, because it helps us understand what he's saying. It's still Paul, but it helps us. He says, through Jesus, we've obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. His eyes not on just on now. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. I'm like, Paul, are you serious? He didn't say, I rejoice about my sufferings. I'm going, oh, thank you. This is a great suffering, great difficulty. This is, ooh, love it. No, he said, I am rejoicing. We rejoice in them because we know, and this is a perspective change. We know that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given. He's saying, I want you guys to know. I want you to know what's happening to me is serving the gospel. I want you to know. And I want you to know, Hope City Church, when you stand in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately suffering produces hope. Not when you're not standing in the grace of God. He said, I want you to know, we stand in the grace of God. You don't stand in the just trying to figure it out of you. You don't just stand in the strength that you've got. You don't just stand on your own. When we stand only, I find this only when I stand in the grace of God, does my suffering ultimately produce hope. Paul had determined, and I've determined, and I would encourage you to determine, because you stand in the grace of God, that everything, I mean, I'm not going to let, right, let's talk about the devil for like 2 seconds. I'm not going to let the devil, right, have a hand. Get to wave his banner and say, look what I've done. Look what I've done. I've determined, because Paul determined, because it's the Spirit of Christ, and he works it out in us, that I said, well, whatever I'm faced, whatever we go through, whatever, it's not just going to produce my downfall, right? It's actually going to produce. It's going to produce my endurance. I'm going through this, right? I might have to go around it, under it, over it, whatever. I'm going forward through it. It's going to produce something. It's going to make me stronger. It's going to produce character. I'm going to get wiser out of this. I'm going to know God better, because he's going to force me into his grace and into his arms and into trusting him. I'm going to come out the other side of it with some hope, because this is not about me. This is about the furtherance of the gospel. I'm not going to let this stuff that I'm having to face, I'm not going to let people just have to face stuff and say, this is just hard. I'm like, everything that you face, everything that you go through, God is determined to turn it around, that it actually produces a stronger you, a better you, a more hopeful you, a grace-filled you, because somebody needs some grace around your world. Somebody needs some grace. Somebody needs some hope. Because I'm a partner in God's plan. Like, this is going to produce something. It's a perspective shift. Stop overanalyzing. Stop thinking. I knew a guy who just, whatever happened to him, he said, well, either God's happy with me or God's not so happy with me. Every time something went slightly wrong, just slightly wrong, he says, oh, it must have been because I slightly slipped up over there. I sinned a little bit there. So therefore, this has happened. I'm like, that is not God. Stop overanalyzing. Oh, stop overanalyzing your life. Please don't try and work it out, because you can't work it out. But what you can do is say, I stand in the grace of God. I stand in the grace of God. I don't get it, God, but I stand in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I remain in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, then ultimately what I'm going through is going to produce some hope for somebody. It's going to produce hope in my life, because I'm going to see that I'm not actually gone down. I am not gone down with this ship. There's a song somewhere. It's by Dido, so I won't sing it. No. partnership perspective shift that you're seeing? Well, this just follows on, really. What you're dealing with is going to make someone else brave. He says, most of the brothers, verse 14, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Wow. You'd kind of think, well, gosh, Paul's in prison, the leader's in prison, everyone's going to throw in the towel. No, I don't want to go to prison. I'm not going to prison. Just shut up about this Jesus thing, right? But that's not what happened. It's not what happened. They actually got bolder and braver. But it's not just because he's in prison. But they saw how he was in prison. They saw what his heart was in prison. They saw his response to the situation. Like, oh, Paul's not going down. He's not scared about this. He's not scared of prison. He's not scared of the consequences of trusting God. He's not scared of the... Right, come on, boys. Let's go for this. Let's do it. And he said, most of them, this was a few. He said, a few. Okay, a few actually went, forget it, right? But most people actually got braver because of what Paul was going through. I want to speak that over your life, that what you're dealing with, please believe this, what you're dealing with is going to make someone else braver. Someone else believe God because you've held in there. Because you've proven God comes through. Gosh, the situations might not all be as I wanted them to be, but God comes through. He's come through in me. I'm not going down. I'm not being defined and held back by what has happened to me. Still believing God, still going forward, still getting stronger, still moving on. Philippians 1:21, this is probably the key verse in the whole of this chapter, certainly. He says, here's the deal. Paul says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What? To live is Christ. It's Jesus all the way. As far as I'm concerned, living, it's Jesus. It's not me. It's not what I can do. It's not about all my plans, all my things. It's about Jesus. It's Jesus focused. It's Jesus reliant. It's Jesus trusting. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. I'm like, this boy, he's defeated fear right there, right? He's defeated fear. Because you're either scared of, most of us, we're either scared of dying or scared of, you know, death in its forms where we lose things or we don't have, you know, where things are taken from. We're scared of stuff. And Paul's defeated, absolutely defeated fear here. He's like, oh, you know what? For me, if I'm alive, right, it's Jesus. If I'm alive, it's about Jesus. If I'm alive, I'm trusting Jesus. If I'm alive, I'm letting people know about Jesus. If I'm alive, I'm living for Jesus. I'm a partner in his plan. If I'm alive, this is what I'm going to be doing. You are not going to stop me. You can throw me in a prison. You can throw away the key. I tell you what, it's not going to stop the results of my life. It ain't going to stop it. And then, right, and if I die, I'm just going to be with Jesus. I'm like, what? Talk about fearless. I'm going to be with Jesus. But it's like, if I go and be with Jesus, that's good for me. Good for me. But if I stay here, it's good for you. And you're here. And that's good. That's good for the person next to you. That's good for others. You're here. How many people in this room are not dead? Can I have a show of hands if you are not dead? Some people are slightly uncertain. Well, most of us are alive. So if you're dead and you know Jesus, that's good for you. It's good for you. That's good for you, right? Because, like, how much better would it be to not have to deal with the stuff and just, oh, Jesus, have a nice time with Jesus. Much better, right? In lots of ways. But you're still here. So that's good for the person next to you. That's good for the person in your world. That's good for us. It's much better that I'm alive than I'm dead, right? And it's much better that you're alive than dead for the sake of the cause, for the sake of what you're going to bring into the world. He says, here's the deal. If I'm alive, it's all about Jesus. If I'm alive, I'm focused on him. If I'm alive, I'm serving him. He defeated fear and intimidation. And that spilled out into other people's lives. Say, well, if that's Paul's, if Paul can do it, we can do it. Somebody needs to look at your life and say, God, if you can do it, I can do it. If you can do it, I can do it. Everything I have to say is because everything I've got to say up here is because I've defeated something. You've only got a voice, certainly to bring God's people. You've got a voice because you've defeated something or you're overcoming something. And I work out, it's all that. The world is full of fear about our security, about our future, about our health, about our finances. Fear is, isn't it? Maybe you're scared. Fear of what people think of you. Fear. But let me encourage you that you can have a new perspective. That what you're overcoming right now, and let me say you're overcoming it, is going to actually make someone else braver. Nothing is wasted. No, I find, gosh, God, actually, no, nothing's wasted. No painful time, no difficulty and trial. It's not wasted. God, please, I'm just not going to allow it to be wasted. I'm not going to sit and let it defeat me. Because I'm a partner in a plan, not to fulfill me. See, that's the lie of our age, or one of them. There's quite a few. So this is about you being satisfied, your success. Paul, no. I know that I'll feel satisfied and successful when I see the plan of God outworked, when I'm connected into that through line, immovable. Let me just give you this brief, Lord. Perspective change. We'll pray in a moment. What everyone else is doing isn't going to change what you're doing. If you're on track, if you'd like set your face towards Jesus, when you're partnering with God and partnering with the people of God, it's like, what everyone else is doing is not, that's not going to change what I'm doing. When I've got my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, Paul in verse 15 to 18, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. I mean, how harsh is that? There's people going out preaching Jesus because they think, probably make Paul's time in prison a little bit harder. They'll probably turn the screws a bit. Let's go and tell everyone about Jesus. I mean, that's weird. That is weird, right? And he's just like, well, you know, you could be like, oh, no, I'm going to make it worse. You know, or whatever. There's people and they're not like me. And, oh, you know. Because we focus often on the people that don't like us rather than the people that like us. Don't we? How much time do they take up? Paul's verse 18, he says, what then? Only in that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And I rejoice. To me, to live is Christ. It's like, I don't care. What? Some people, Paul, do you know some people are like trying to make it worse for you? Do you know, Paul, some people are on your side. Some people are not on your side. It's like, whatever. My eyes fixed. How much time do we spend talking about and thinking about what other people are doing? Watching what other people are doing. Reading about what other people are doing. Why do we give time to whether or not Chris Martin and Jennifer Lawrence are going to stay together or split up? I don't know. Why are we fascinated? Oh, well, they're a lovely couple. Oh, I really hope he has, you know, has... What? Why do we spend time? If you like, if you don't know who they are, God bless you. You are more holy than I. I'm like, I care. I slightly care. I realize I slightly care. This culture impacts you. I slightly care. I'm like, I don't know them. I like some of his music. I like some of her films. I've never met them. Why do we talk about what other people are doing? Why are we thinking about what other people are doing? Why do we do that? Beth Blois, lead pastor in Sheffield, one of the things she shared at conference was this. She said, it's really hard. The hardest thing when you're a leader is when somebody leaves church. I mean, not to go when you've prayed them out and sent them to the other side of the world to plant a church and all these things, or they've just moved away with life and jobs. But when they leave, right? So it's like one of the hardest things, right? Yeah. And then a couple of weeks ago, me and Lisa, we bumped into someone who'd left. There's lots of people. People leave churches, right? For various reasons, but there's people who leave. And we bumped into someone. We were going shopping, we had Emma, and we bumped into someone, right? And I was like, oh, hi. And you have a chat, right? It was all nice, right? It's not like daggers, you know, or anything like that, talking to you to cross this road. All right, we're bigger than that, at least. And you talk, this is fine. And then, and you know what? We said bye-bye. And then we walked off and went into the shops. And we looked after Emma and we did our shopping. And then we got in the car and we got on. And it was, I don't know, late that day, I thought, gosh, we didn't even say anything. We didn't even turn to go, oh, well, we prepared for you. You know? Hey, dude. You didn't even mention it. Lisa, this is the first time Lisa, she's like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. We didn't even talk about it. And I think, well, it held, right? We had Emma. So we had Emma, somebody distracted us and we were going to do something. And we had Emma, but we didn't talk about it. But I know if you talk about it, you know, you start talking about somebody or something or whatever, you start talking about it. And then it all comes out. And then you're like, and then you're justifying yourself, and then you're talking about a situation, you say, well, it would have been better if anyway. And everything. You know, and you're doing, you're talking about what everyone's doing, and then it affects how you're feeling, and then that affects what you're doing. Because if you start feeling something, you start doing something based upon what you're feeling. So you don't want to be feeling something. So you want to stop talking about everybody else and thinking, what are they doing? Are they doing to me? Are they happy? Are they with me? Are they not again with me? You don't want to be bothered about everybody all the time. We spent 2 months' time, we spent no time. So actually, I just felt good. I thought I spent no time talking about that. And we had Emma. And some of you need, I'm like, we had something more important to be distracted by. And some of us need to find ourselves distracted by the more important thing of saying, I am a partaker in the grace of God. I'm a member of His house. I'm a partner with His people. I'm loving people. They're loving me. This is what my life is about. Time to be distracted. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? I've got 3/4 of the way through chapter 1. But I think that's enough. Why don't we stand? Let's stand together, because just to round this out and stand. I think you need to lift your hands where you are, and maybe there's some band around. And Come on, just bear with us for another 3-4 minutes. Why don't you just lift your hands to Jesus? Because I think we all need to just respond right now. Lift your hands to Him. It doesn't have to be up high, but right now, this is a moment of, oh gosh, you know what? My life. Jesus, we got so much going on. Jesus, so much stuff going on around our lives and in our lives right now. God, this is a moment of refocus. This is just a moment to refocus. I don't know. I think it's not too gentle, right? Because we could just get a bit miserable, couldn't we? Right now, go, oh, gosh, yeah, it's just things and all. So maybe just pick, yeah, just have a little bit of thing. I don't know. Just a bit lighter and nicer and happier. I think God wants you to be happy today. I think God is like, oh, don't be miserable about your life. So I don't know, just find, make sure they're major chords or something, I don't know, right? Because minor chords, I just go, oh, well, God, yeah, Jesus, you really love me in my miserable life. But God loves you so much, right? And he's like, I'm going to finish what I've started in you. I'm going to finish the plan. God, you might be in a prison right now. You might be like, just like, what is this stuff going on around my life? And but God would have you say, you know what? God is going to finish what He started. What is happening in my life? I think you need to declare this over your life. What is happening in my life is not about me. It's not going to bring me down. This is going to result in hope in my own heart. This is going to result in a stronger me. This is going to result in someone else discovering the grace and the hope of God. So, if that's you today, right, and you're saying, gosh, I need my perspective to change, and I'm going to change my perspective right now. If that's you today, just lift your hand, eyes closed, and just sort of lift your hands if that's you today. That's great. There's plenty of hands. If that's you, just raise it high, because I want to see where God's working. Be bold and brave. Be bold and brave. This thing is not bringing you down. It's not sending you under. This is not your defeat. This is not your defeat. This is not just showing up, oh, look at you, you failed. This is not what it's about. You are not quitting. because God is not quitting on you. So Jesus, I pray for every single one of these people right now. Jesus, Lord, that we would get a new perspective. Father God, that hope would rise. Hope would rise. That hope would rise. The thanksgiving would replace despair and questions. The thanksgiving, not for the situation, but for a God who we can trust. Jesus, who died for us, who went to a cross, who suffered on our behalf, so that we could be lifted, Lord, in the middle of our circumstances, out of them sometimes, and just over them and above them to gain a new perspective. But there's one or two. Because the key to this today is that we remember we are partners and partakers. That whether you're a university student here today and gone for Christmas and back again, you know, you're connected where you came from, you can connect here. You don't be a drifter. You become a partaker. And I think there's more people in this room that need to receive that word, to not be a drifter and to become a partaker. To drifting, maybe drifting through life, drifting from church to church, drifting from dream to dream. God wants to bring you back to being a partaker and a partner in His plans and His purposes. God is creating a stronger unity in our lives, even in this moment. So let's all lift our hands, because this is for all of us. And let's all pray this. Father God, let's be partakers in this prayer, right? So we're going to pray together. Father God, thank you for your plans and purposes that are to bless me, that are to prosper me, that are to give me a hope and a future. But I thank you that it's not all about me, that you got something to do through my life. You have something to do through our lives. Thank you that I find my purpose as part of your house, as one of your people. I thank God for the people around me. Father God, I pray that the rivers would run deep between us. You don't have to pray that. I'm praying for you now. Thanks, Lisa. Father God. Father, let the rivers run deep in this house. Come on, you lift up a prayer for this house now. You lift up a prayer for this house. You lift up a prayer. Not my prayer, this is your prayer for this house, for your part in it, for God building something that's so strong, that speaks to the world of hope and community. You pray. Come on, Father God. Come on, Father God. Let the days ahead be better than the days behind us. God, may we find our place. May we live, Lord, partakers of your grace, together, partners in the house. Lord, I want people to be thankful that I'm here. Lord God, I want to thank you for the people around me, God. And may people thank you that I'm here, because I got something to bring, God. We got something to give. We got something to build. Lord God, you're building something in our lives. You're building something in our lives. It's strong. It's going forward. It's going to endure. It's going to speak. There's a city. There is a city. There is a city that's going to thank God for us. God's good, isn't he? If you don't know Jesus, but you want to, I don't know him. You want to, or you've walked with him and you've walked away. I just want to give you one moment to say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. So we're going to do one more prayer. It's a simple prayer. It says, Jesus, sorry for going my own way. I want to go your way. Simple as that. So you ready to pray one more time? Let's all pray. We'll all pray, right? Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you took all my sin, all my shame, and everything that would separate me from you, and everything that would separate me from your plans for my life. Forgive me for going my own way. I want to go your way. I want to know your plans for my life. Cleanse me on the inside. Make me new. Set me free. And fill me with your spirit. And lead me on your path. In Jesus' name. If that is you today, and you're saying yes to Jesus Christ for the first time, or this is a recommitment saying, I'm coming back to Jesus Christ. Just while everyone's eyes are closed, why don't you just lift your hand so I can see? It's one hand right in the middle. It's another hand at the back. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Is there anybody else? Two hands, three hands. That is awesome. I thank you so much. Thank you for responding. Thank you for responding. Father God, we thank you for these people. Father God, will you seal this decision and this moment in our hearts? Father, may this be a point of no return, a point of stepping forward, a point of redefining what's happened, Father God, and stepping into the incredible future that you have for them, in Jesus' name. Why don't you thank God for what he's doing? Thank God for these people. Thank God.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you, or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.